Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Drop that beat on. Drop that beat on, man. Drop that beat on. Let us know that we back. Drop the babies crying. With the babies crying and everything, drop the beat on. I got my man Jared Rudolph. You here, Jared?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Jared Rudolph, real GM, on the line with us. I got my man in the back there in the background, Edgar Burgos. What's up?
Hey, what's going on? I'm here. I'm ready to rock.
All right, good, man. Hey, Ed, it's been like 2.5 years, man, since we've been doing this. It's been too long. I'm glad we get this thing going back again.
Yeah, man, we had a good run, man, with a lot of guests, a lot of, you know, great guests over the years, and I guess we took some time off, and the podcast industry is kind of crazy because everyone's trying to step their game up, and we kind of were in the forefront of everything.
Oh, yeah, man, it's a lot of good shows, man. I think back to the one that we did with Smush Parker. I remember us talking with Larry Johnson. I remember us talking with a lot of people here on A2G Radio. I made a lot of good friends out here. Talking a lot of good things and having some real talk about sports, man. So always a good look on the A2G Radio podcast, man. Stay with us.
Yes, yes, yes.
Got my man Jared Rudolph right there. He subbed in for E Complete. It looked like he subbed in. Jared, it's a good sub. Let the shots go when you get the ball, baby.
Good look, man. You guys, you do what you got to do. I got it. I'll make sure I don't disappoint.
No doubt, no doubt, man. It's good. Hey, so tonight, Ed, just like we talked about, we're gonna have Stephen Bondi on the show, New York Daily News beat writer for the New York Knicks. So as it usually goes around here, Jared, is just heavy Knicks talk. You know, we always gotta slide a little bit of my Brooklyn Nets in there. We always come off the bench. My Brooklyn Nets go off the bench, even though there's a big game this Friday, Knicks and Nets Friday in Brooklyn. I'm sure we're gonna be able to talk about that a little bit later. We also going to have my guy Kenny Anderson, Chips, out of Left Rack City, Queens. He's going to join the show with us today as well midway through. And he's going to be able to connect. I'd like the segment that we now doing, Ed, this whole Youth on the Move segment at the end where we're able to identify with some of the top young athletes around the city, around basketball. So we're going to have Cole Anthony, who goes to Malloy right now, played in the seat where Kenny Anderson was. He's going to have him on the line. Yes, sir, Ed.
Has an NBA pedigree, you know. Greg Anthony's his son. You know, one of the top freshman phenoms to come out of New York, and the Saints is Stephon Marbury.
Yeah, and just to give the listeners something, just a little bit of my background in terms of running fun sports, being in touch with these next generation type of athletes like Cole Anthony. I love to have these guys kind of fused into this type of medium. So where they can kind of connect with some of the stars that they hope and they aspire to. So this is a good part of the good segment of the show that I like to be a part of, man, and connecting these kids with some of these guys. So you know, Cole Anthony and looked up to Kenny Anderson coming into Malloy and being a freshman at Malloy. Everyone knows Kenny Anderson's legacy there. So to be able to connect Cole and be able to kind of connect him with Kenny Anderson over the phone here on H2G Radio, I think that's pretty big, and be able to kind of do some mentorship right over the line with him and be able to pass that torch officially right here on H2G Radio. Got to tune in on this one. It's going to be a good close to the night show. That's the way to open the show, man. Get the ball and let's put it up. It's like the All-Stars did at the NBA, you heard?
Yeah, so All-Star break was over, you know, was this past weekend, and Jared was out there. You know, got to see a lot of things. Hey, Jared, let's talk about your experience out there. What you find out, any trades, any rumors, you know, what you think about Kobe, you know, ending his, you know, his last All-Star out there.
Well, the thing that stood out the most, obviously, was Kobe. And you look at a guy, I mean, you know, he didn't play bad, he didn't play great. I think all in all, the weekend was fabulous. I don't think the game, you know, lived up to the rest of the weekend. Three-point shootout was great. Dunk contest was epic. thought the game's just, you know, guys out there, you know, playing, not trying to get hurt, you know, putting on a little bit of a show, no defense, and, you know, East almost had 200 points. The West almost had 200 points. It could have had it if they wanted it. But when you look at a guy like Kobe and you just look at the response that not only he received in the All-Star game, that he's received leading up to the All-Star game, the way the players have talked about the way that he has either pushed them or he has helped them or just the way that he's contributed to the game. You know, he'll get a statue one day. Obviously, he's going to the Hall of Fame. That is the way you want to have a career. That's the type of career you want to have, rather. You want to go out there and you want to impact it, right? You want to leave something, you know, that lasts long beyond your years. I mean, people will be talking about Kobe Bryant 25, 30 years from now. And it's not just because of how nasty he was. It's just about the effect and the impact. Like, he's left the game with something that, you know, I don't see anybody right now that can take what Kobe has left the game and add to it. You know, LeBron would be great, but, you know, he's no Kobe Bryant in terms of resume and impact. It's just, you know, the way the game, the various tributes and the way the players interacted with it, it's just the way you want to go out. You know, you want to go out knowing that win, lose, or draw, you left this game with something. I mean, the guy is, he's great. I think he's the standard or one of the standard setters for what it is to be great. Like, he defines it. The word is thrown around a lot now, and it's thrown around to guys that haven't done anything. And Kobe, you know, the reason people love Kobe is because it's 100% true with him. He is a great player, right? He has the great resume. It all has resonated. I mean, 5-2 in the NBA Finals, 2 Olympic gold medals, 18 All-Star games. He is great. You know, never had an off year. He was great every single year, and he worked on his game. And he took that word, great. It meant something to him. And you just see it. And, you know, a lot of guys are given things so quickly in this game before they have an opportunity to do anything. It's just to see this guy ending it all, 18th All-Star game, it just was really, really great to see. And I hope that the players that were able to give kind words to Kobe and go out there and make this weekend great for him really understand what it is that he's leaving behind and why the game is going to miss him so much. And that motivates them to try to get as close to that level as they can, because they're so far back, you know, again, historically speaking, they're so far back from a guy like Kobe Bryant that, you know, you don't know when you're going to see another truly, truly great one come along. Because after Kobe, you know, you figure Duncan and Garnett, they're going to be on their way out. So then who do you have? Like, they're like the last of the Mohicans, the last of the guys that played with the truly, truly, truly great golden age players. So who do you have next? I mean, I respect all of these new age guys, but they're just different. You know, Kobe, Garnett, Duncan, the last of a dying breed.
I would ask that of you, Jared, if when you look at Kobe's legacy and you look at the things that he's accomplished, and yes, I love the fact that he's being honored and recognized for it now, who's that next person that could kind of come in and continue to push the NBA, continue to take it? Is it LeBron? Are we talking Steph Curry? Who would he kind of pass the torch to? Because at some point they said Jordan passed it to him. Who are we passing the torch to now from Kobe to who?
You know, it's tough. I don't think it goes Kobe to LeBron. I think LeBron is in an era all of his own, right? I think Kobe, Duncan, Garnett are still post-Jordan era players. So, you know, LeBron, D-Wade, you know, Melo, these brothers, they are, this is their own era. There will be a post-Kobe era. So I think that when you're saying who does Kobe pass the torch to when he leaves, well, if Duncan doesn't hang him up at the end of the year, then I think that as, again, a historically great player that continues to be great and continues to win and continues to be relevant, that Duncan is now in the role of being that guy that upholds the standard of what it is to truly be great.
Come on, okay? Duncan's again, old now, Jared. Duncan's old now.
But he's still relevant and he's still winning, okay? So
is Duncan leading them to the wins, or are we having like young guys like Kawhi Leonard? Is Kawhi Leonard the man? Who's the man now?
It will always be Tim Duncan's team, even if he's not the guy out there doing the grunt work. Tim Duncan allows Kawhi Leonard to be great because he's able to take a step back and let young guys flourish. He did it with Tony Parker, and Tony Parker does it with Kawhi Leonard as well as LaMarcus Aldridge. Okay, you have to be smart enough to understand when you can't carry the load by yourself. But it doesn't mean that he's not a great player. Again, you talk about a standard, and you talk about collectively what he's done throughout his career. You can't compare. I mean, the only other guy you could look at and say, yeah, this guy has that type of resume really is Dwayne Wade, because he has the three championships, and that does matter. But again, you're talking about the last of the –
Yeah, I was going to say, let's hold that argument, because I definitely want to continue to have that debate with you. Right now, joining us on the line, we have Stephen Bondy from the New York Daily News, and this is where we go into that Nick talk. Stephen Bondy, you with us?
Yeah, what's up, fellas?
Well, hey, Jared and I were kind of going back and forth. We're talking about Kobe. We talk about NBA All-Star. If you can't have NBA All-Star, we're kind of bringing up some Melo talk and Melo and his role in the NBA All-Star and going forward. I'm sure you got some latest and greatest news about Melo being traded.
Nah, he's staying put right now. He's staying put. He loves – listen, give him credit. He was – a lot of people talk about coming to New York. A lot of people talk about coming to the Garden, how great it is. He was the one guy that said, you know, bring me to New York. I'm demanding a trade in New York from Denver. And he did it. He loves playing in New York. And he's not going anywhere, at least not right now. You know, maybe in the summer if the Knicks fail again to get a big free agent to play alongside him. But through this little trade deadline that's coming up right now, he's staying put.
Why is he always in trade talks? You like to think Melo is the man. He's the franchise player for the New York Knicks. Why are we constantly, and he has to constantly deal with having his name in trade rooms?
Well, you know, it's not about – he blames it on me. It's not about the – it's about the Knicks and the direction that they've taken. This was a guy, he's in the back end of his prime right now. And Phil Jackson decided to go in another direction. I mean, he signed into the big deal, but right now it's about building towards the future. It's about Kristaps Porzingis. And him and Kristaps Porzingis are on a different career timeline. So, of course, that's naturally going to come up. You know what I mean? Like, If the Knicks want to move forward in a certain direction and they want to be built towards the future, Carmelo might not be a part of it. That's just the reality of where they are in their careers.
But, Stephen, do you feel like, at you know, Melo being where he is at this point in his career, would be in a position to take a step back to allow someone else, whether it's a Dwight Howard, a Kevin Durant, you know, Joakim, whoever, to come in and be able to put together a team that's able to compete? Or in Melo's mind, is it something where it still has to be his team and he still has to be the man, and ultimately, you know, it's Carmelo Anthony and the New York Knicks? Or is he ready to, you know, really take a step back and allow this team to be built and give him an opportunity to compete?
I definitely feel like he's ready to take a step back and build a championship team in New York City, whether – he's the number one guy, the guy that the attention is centered around, or it's somebody else. But the problem is, you're talking about, when you talk about Joakim Noah and whomever else, you're not talking about a championship team right now. He needs somebody. He said it. He needs somebody else to carry the load. He's not a defensive. He's a great offensive player. He needs somebody to come in and be that other complimentary star, because he can't do it by himself. And he wants somebody to come in. I mean, you know, he's been saying it forever. The problem is the Knicks are not in a position to give him that play.
Now, Steph, I got a quick question about Phil Jackson. How do you think Melo feels that his name is even in the trade rumors? Because obviously he has a no-trade clause. He doesn't want to go anywhere. He wants a player to come here. So at the end of the season, obviously, I'm pretty sure he doesn't want to be traded during the season. But at the end of the season, he's going to have to talk to his team, you know, his agent, and then maybe think about, you know, going to the Clippers, you know, going to Miami, going to Cleveland to try to get that ring. Because, you know, Melo hangs out with these guys, and these guys are, you know, they show their rings. They're always going to the playoffs. He has to feel a certain type of way.
No, I agree with you, but I think he's smart enough to understand that he can outlast Phil Jackson. Because in my opinion, I don't think Phil Jackson's here to stay. Carmelo's the – if you look at the hierarchy of the Garden right now, you got Dolan at the top, and you got Carmelo Anthony with his trade clause right under him. And then you got Phil Jackson a few notches below that because Phil has, you know, Phil, if you look at Phil, and I, this is my first year covering Knicks. Before that, I covered the Nets. I've only met Phil Jackson once. And the guy physically does not look capable of running a team, certainly not coaching a team, which he should be doing. He doesn't look up to the task right now. And I think after this season, he's going to evaluate his situation. You know, maybe he goes back to California. Maybe he goes back to Jeannie Buss. I think Carmelo's smart enough to understand he's going to outlast Phil Jackson in New York. And then, you know, he'll take it from there. So, you know, unfortunately, if you're a Knicks fan, it's tough to swallow, but so much is up in the air. This off season, not this trade deadline, but this summer is going to be crazy. Like, you know, it's hard to say what's going to happen because there's so much in play right now.
Steph, I know you used to cover the Nets. I'm sure you missed my Brooklyn Nets and covering the Nets. The Knicks can't be that much fun. The Knicks can't be that
much fun. Well, you know, the Nets had a – they were rough. But, you know, they had a few good teams, and they mortgaged their future. They went for it. They went crazy for it, and they don't have a draft pick right now. And that's unfortunate because that's going to be a top five pick. And when you look back to that season that they really went for it, that season with Jason Kidd and Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, it was fun. It was fun to cover that team. It was fun to follow that team. But ultimately, the goals fell short, and now they're paying for it.
Do the Nets trade Brook Lopez or Thaddeus Young by the trade deadline? Because somebody has
they
to
should.
Go. They need traffic.
They should. Listen, they should. And a lot of people have been down on Deron Williams. I was always a Deron Williams fan, and I'm probably the only one. I'm probably the only one on that ship. But now you see when he leaves, what this team becomes. They're just a disaster. They're one of the worst, top three worst teams in the league. And to me, Brook Lopez is not a winning player. He's not a player you want to build your team around. When Brook Lopez was the best player on your team in New Jersey, that team won 12 games. It's one of the worst teams of all time. So, I trade Brook Lopez.
It's crazy that you say that now, because I remember I did an interview. It had to be about 3 years ago, and this was around the time they were talking about trading Brook Lopez for Dwight straight up. And I said it was ridiculous. I was like, you don't – and people, oh, Brook is – you know, he's 20 points a game. He's this, he's that. I'm like, look, man, the guy's not Dwight Howard. And I made the comparison. I'm like, if Dwight Howard is Superman, then Brook Lopez is Captain Planet. And Captain Planet is cool, but he's not the guy you want coming to save the world if something really good is going on. I mean, you throw some dirt on the guy. But my point is now you see all of this coming. Like, I think he is a nice piece to have on the team, but certainly not, you know, a number one option. I don't give a damn how many points he's scoring a game. I just don't think the guy is a lead dog on the team. I don't think, quite frankly, you know, you should have him in a 1-2 or 3 spot. I think he's a guy that just needs to be out on the floor, you know, doing anything he can to contribute. But again, I agree with you with Brook Lopez, but I don't understand why somebody would trade for him, especially at the price that you would have to pay to get him, because he doesn't tip the scales for you. He doesn't make your championship team.
Yeah, and I like that Captain Planet reference. I'm sure not everybody knows about that, though. I used to watch that card. But I'm not a fan of Kevin Love either, because to me, every bad team, and I'm talking about when Kevin Love was on the Minnesota Timberwolves, every bad team needs a stat stuffer. And that's what Kevin Love was to me in Minnesota, and that's what Brook Lopez was for basically the majority of his career. He had a one all-star year when he was a reserve, and they called him as an alternate or something like that. But he's not an all-star, and he's not somebody you want to build your team around.
Hey, Steph, before we let you go, I got one other question. You talked about Deron Williams. When I, as a Nets fan, I was told that Deron was the horrible leader and he was the cancer in the locker room. You mean to tell me in covering that team, you had a difference of opinion on that?
I mean, there are a lot of people that didn't like Deron Williams. And he was surly. He had an attitude problem. He had a very high opinion of himself. But was he a cancer in that locker room? No, he stuck to himself. he was not a leader, but he was a very good player. And at his peak, he was an all-star. He was a superstar. Now, he wasn't that when by the end of his career in Brooklyn, but he was still somebody to run a basketball team, which, by the way, neither New York team has right now. Neither New York team has a point guard. It's crazy right now because that's what both teams in New York are missing. You need a point guard to run the team. Neither one has one right now. I mean, what have we got in Brooklyn?
Absolutely.
Shane Larkin? Is he the guy right now? Yeah.
Absolutely.
And,
no floor general.
Yeah, exactly. And in New York, you got Jose Calderon.
Terrible. So, Steph, as a media person who's covered both teams, if I were to kind of let you be the floor general right now as the GM, who would both teams are in need of a coach. Who would you say is the ideal person to fill both voids? The Brooklyn Nets as a head coach and the New York Knicks as a head coach.
I don't know if news broke fairly recently from Wojnarowski at Yahoo that Sean Marks, the guy from the San Antonio Spurs, the assistant GM, is now the guy to take over the Nets. Or at least they offered him the position. So I could see him hiring inexperienced guy, a guy he's going to give a first chance to, and I could see that being Ettore Messina, who has been the he's an Italian guy. He's been a famous international coach for a long time, kind of in the vein of the Cleveland coach. What's the name? Gosh, I just forgot his name.
David
Black, who was fired. But he doesn't have the same ego. He's a humble guy. I like him a lot. So they go that route. That's a good sign. In terms of the Knicks, I mean, it's hard to say because if Phil Jackson is going to go the triangle route, I like Brian Shaw. I know a lot of people are down on Brian Shaw. He was very respected as an assistant coach in Indiana and as well in L.A. He had a very rough time in Denver. To me, it was impossible chaos and circumstances that he got dealt over there. I like him a lot. So if Phil's going the triangle route, that's the guy. If not, I mean, the best coach out there is Tom Thibodeau. I just don't see that happening as long as Phil Jackson's involved.
And I got one last question. Obviously, with the traded deadline here, you know, and the Knicks needing a point guard, we know we're talking Jeff Teague. You know, obviously, Brandon Jennings just got traded to Orlando. Do you think the Knicks make that trade for Jeff Teague, or at the end of the season, is Jeff Teague coming to New York? Me personally, I don't think Jeff Teague is going to, you know, obviously going to get us into, you know, the Eastern Conference Finals. I think he'll get us into the playoffs. But, you know, what type of moves do you think expect the Knicks to make?
Well, if you're Atlanta, who do you take from the Knicks for Jeff Teague?
Oh, man.
Yeah,
there's no expiring
problem,
contract.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. I mean, the Knicks don't have solid pieces to give away. I mean, if Phil's willing to give up Kristaps Porzingis, and he's not and he shouldn't, then you can start talking. But if Phil's saying, hey, will you give me Jeff Teague for Jose Calderon and Kyle O'Quinn, I just don't see that happening. I just don't see the Knicks upgrading right now. And they need backcourt help, but I just don't see it happening. And I don't see Jeff Teague coming to New York. Whether it's a good fit or not, so, you know, it's just a pipe dream right now.
Hey,
Steph, I appreciate you calling in and dialing in. Let's make sure you continue to track those Nets, man. They're going to come up. They're going to have a better record by the Knicks by the end of the season. You heard it here first. It's about 25, 30 games left.
Yeah, well, there's room for improvement.
I'll see you at the Barclays Center on Friday. You know, that'll help kind of like start the process.
All right, man. I'll see you out there.
Thank you. Ronnie, I appreciate it.
Thanks, Steph. Right.
Hey, that was Stephen Bondi from the New York Daily News. In another 10 minutes or so, we're going to get former NYC legend Kenny Anderson on the line, but hey, let's talk about what Steph said, man. Melo, I kind of feel like Melo wants to be the man. That was one thing he said he needs, like a sidekick. I think Melo still wants to be the man.
No, definitely not. He wants to win. He definitely wants to win. Listen, everyone kills him, and they say he's a ball hog and all that other stuff. That's far from the truth. Every time DeMelo has won, Melo has had good players around him that he trusts. It's hard, you know, so last year was hard, you know, he was hurt, so, you know, he had a rough year. But the year that we won 54 games, you know, 3 years ago, I mean, there's a, he trusted all those guys. We had Jason Kidd, you know, he was a leader, you know, Rasheed Wallace was on the team, even though he was hurt, he didn't, you know, but he, you know, he was a leader in the locker room. Marcus Camby, he was a leader in the locker room. You know, Melo is a guy that wants to win. And when he has good players around him, trust me, it shows.
Well, I like Melo, but I think Melo is a phenomenal scoring talent. I think Melo is a cool guy. I don't know him personally, but you look at him, and you know, Melo is the perfect name. He's always in his cool, never too high, never too low. You know, he goes out there, he plays hard. You know, he can't take anything away from him. I just don't think he's a leader. I mean, you point out, you know, the few times that Melo has been successful, especially in the playoffs. Jason Kidd, Rasheed Wallace, leaders, guys that have won. You know, when in Denver, Chauncey Billups, leader, a guy that has won. Melo, again, as your leader, I think Melo can be the best player on your team and you can get it done. But as the leader, I'm not sure if that's a role that while he is comfortable in, that he needs to, like, I don't think he's the guy to lead you. I think he can be your front man. You know, he can be the guy that goes out there and gets it done. But I don't think that he's the guy that's giving a pregame speech. I don't think he's the guy that needs to be addressing the team when you're down 20. I just don't think that's who he is. And it's easy for Melo to play when you have a guy like Jason Kidd, again, point guard, floor general, leader, Chauncey Billups, Rasheed Wallace, those type of guys. And why wouldn't it be? They've won. They've done it. Melo can't relay that to young guys because he hasn't done it and he hasn't been the catalyst to getting it done. So, I like him. I think that in the right situation, Melo can get it done. He's certainly an all-star, and I would love to have him on my team, but I wouldn't take him with the first pick, and I certainly wouldn't put him in a position to be a leader or the leader on my team. He could be a co-captain, maybe the third captain, but he wouldn't be the leader of my team. And I think that's what you need to get around Melo. He needs a unique mix of young and old, young players to go out there and do some of the dirty work, older veteran players to kind of go out there and guide the ship and lead him and get him where he needs to go. And I don't trust Melo as my leader.
I'm with you on that, Jared. Hey, before we get to Kenny Anderson coming on the line, I'd like to kind of go to the air to kind of get some callers involved in the show. We're going to go to the air. I believe I got my man Rudy King that wants to weigh in on this Melo talk. Rudy King, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hey, Rudy.
Yes, indeed, sir.
Hey, Rudy, man, what's going on?
I know you've been listening to the show. You heard Stephen Bondi. We're talking Melo. We're getting some responses. New York Knicks. I know New York Knicks is your favorite team.
Join in with us, man.
What's your opinion so far?
I disagree with the comments about Melo not being the leader. I mean, if you look at every single guy that's ever won a championship, from Michael Jordan to LeBron, they all had a supporting cast. So Melo hasn't really, in my opinion, had championship caliber supporting cast. And even if you look back at, like, Jordan, for instance, everybody kind of downplays the people he had around him, but he had guys that could knock down the jump shot. He had guys that could rebound. He had guys that were physical. And Melo, in my opinion, just hasn't really had that. I mean, he gets the knock that being a leader, but he won a national championship at Syracuse. He's been a championship dude in the AAU level. He was a championship guy at the high school level.
Come on, we can't talk about AAU. You know how many guys working at a gas station now with a leader of their high school championship team, bro?
No. I've been around for 30 years, bro, and I'm telling you, I've seen them all, and I've coached a lot of them. So what I'm saying to you is that he's got championship pedigree. He's not.
No, I disagree. He's had talent.
Okay.
In Denver, Chauncey Billups was the guy that came in and made the push to get them to the conference finals. Before that, he had Allen Iverson, he had J.R. Smith, he had Kenyon Martin. So he's had talent around him, even in New York. You know, when you first get here, remember, before he came, you know, while they weren't championship contenders. Amari Stoudemire was on the MVP pace and had the Knicks looking good. And then you get there, and they can't play together. And at that point, Melo's not willing to take a step back. So you can't say a guy has championship pedigree on this level if he's only been out of the first round two times in his entire career. And, yeah, that's not all his fault. But to say that it's because he's had a lack of talent, I can't give you that, because he's had talent. He's had a lot of talent. He's had talent that has actually done well in other places. Iverson got to the finals, got out of the second round a couple times. Kenyon Martin's been to the NBA finals a couple of times. I mean, come on. I mean, look, we're going to hold the guy accountable and say that he's a superstar, which I'm agreeing to. Then you got to make sure that you also are holding him accountable for the losses. And I don't want him as my leader. Now, that's not saying I don't want him on the team. But, yeah, championship pedigree, because what he did in AAU and Syracuse a very, very long time ago, I'm not going to give him that. He's a talented player, and that's why he was able to get it done in college, because on a college game, you can take over a game. And he also had a great coach in Jim Boeheim and a great system. But championship pedigree, come on. Like, not Melo, no. You know, the championship pedigree is talent.
That's real talk on H2G Radio.
Hold on, Rudy. In your defense, I just want to say against Jared, he had Allen Iverson in the tail end of his career. That's one. Kenyon Martin was a great player with the Nets, but he had Jason Kidd. I do think that Melo got them, was a big part getting them to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, listen, I'm not saying that Carmelo Anthony is along for the ride. You're missing the point. No, Chauncey Billups was the leader of that Denver team. They got to the conference finals. Melo's your front man. He's going to go out there, and he's going to score, and he's going to be a superstar, okay? When they made it to the second round of the playoffs in New York, Melo's your superstar. He's your front man. He's going out there. But Jason Kidd is the leader of that team. That's all I'm saying. He's not along for the ride. He's not hopping the train. No, he's just not driving the train. I don't want him driving the train, but he damn sure can work on it. That's all I'm saying. He's a great player. No one will ever dispute that. But don't tell me about what he did in AAU. I was pretty damn good when I was a kid, too. That don't mean nothing on the NBA level. And even in college, you know, he was the best player in college basketball, far and ahead. I mean, he could have gone straight to the league. I mean, far and ahead, the best player in college basketball, and he had a great coach. And he did what he had to do. But championship pedigree, no. Melo, you have to be a champion. You have to be on the championship stage consistently to have championship pedigree. Melo's never played
in
June.
Okay. All right. I mean, that's your opinion, man. But I'm telling you, you can't say that. All of these guys that you just mentioned, they were superstars when they were young to where they are right now. And I'm telling you that there was nobody better playing at that spot that Carmelo was playing coming up when he was from like 13, 14 years old to where he is now. I'm telling you, he just needs pieces just like everybody else, man. Michael
He's
Jordan would not have – Michael
let,
Jordan
hold
would have
on,
not
hold
won
on.
All
I mean,
those championships.
But let's do something. Let's not – hold on. I'm going to let you finish without interrupting you, but let's just set a rule. Let's not mention Melo in the same breath as Jordan. Let's not do that because it's not disrespectful to Mike.
Okay. What we're saying is you talk about championships, and I'm telling you that Michael Jordan, without Steve Kerr knocking down jump shots, without the rebounding ability when they brought in Rodman, I'm telling you, he had
– We're talking about
too.
The same Jordan that was carrying the Bulls to the conference finals. We're talking about the same Michael Jordan that only lost playoff series to teams that went on to win the championship.
We're not talking about that guy.
Come on,
what I'm
man.
Talking about is the, well, listen to what I'm telling you. I'm talking about the same Jordan that had 63 against Boston. I'm talking about the same Jordan that was putting up big numbers when he was by himself and not winning championships.
That was his second year in the league, bro. Hold on, that was his second year in the league, bro, when he put up 63
matter.
Against Boston.
Hey,
it doesn't matter. And Melo's not doing that. You never mentioned Melo and Mike in the same,
right.
Or Kobe, or anybody that has multiple championships. The guy,
right.
The guy has never gone to a seventh game of a conference finals. He's never played in the NBA finals. How are we comparing him or even mentioning him in the
all
same
right.
name? It's Jordan.
Absolutely.
That's crazy.
You are the man. You got it. You're the man.
Rudy King. I love
yes,
the
sir.
Argument. I love this on HCG Radio. I love it. Rudy King, thanks for calling in for us. Please
yes,
hang out on the line.
I
want to continue
yes,
the show. And Rudy, you might want to listen to. I got one of your favorite nephews about to join the line to us. Kenny
yeah.
Anderson, are you on the line?
Yes, what's up, my man?
What's up, Chance?
What's going on?
I'm good. This is Ricky Rivers, man. Fun Sport NYC. You got Jared Rudolph from the Real GM, and you know Edgar Burgos, of course, And we go up. We love to have you there talking with us, Kenny A.
Yeah, man, it's a pleasure, man. It's a pleasure.
Hey, man, what do you think about the – we want to talk to you about NBA stuff first, man. What do you think about the trades that's going on? Who should be traded on Kenny Anderson's GM status? Who should stay? Who should go?
Well, I think the big trade is right now everybody's trying to – if you're a contender, go after Dwight Howard. You know, his name is in the mix. I think Doc Rivers and the Clippers is messing around trying to trade Blake Griffin, but I don't think they're going to do that. All the other trades, it's going to be little trades, not nothing. You know, Cleveland, I think, is trying to, you know, change their roster and go small ball now because they got, you know, destroyed by Golden State. I think the whole league is going towards that way with those stretch fours, playing small ball, so they're looking to get guys that can play that style. And it's kind of unique because Golden State play it, but, you know, basically their whole team, about 6, 7, 8 guys, can make plays. They can all dribble. They can all pass. They got very high basketball IQ. They're set for that type of play. I think everybody's trying to catch on, but you just can't do that. You know, you have to be set for that. And I think you give a lot of credit to that GM assembling that team, putting that team together.
No doubt.
He saw a vision. He saw a vision. And then, you know, Mark Jackson, you know, got fired there, but he was the one that started them to believe in themselves. And, you know, Steve Kerr took it over from there. But they're playing with so much confidence. And I just think everybody in the league are trying to figure out how could they play like Golden State? And it's very difficult. You have to assemble players that can play in that style. You just can't say, okay, that guy, put him here. It takes some time in doing that, I believe.
For sure.
Hey,
for sure.
Hey, Kenny, I definitely want to talk to you about, you know, you're a former Net great. You know, how does it feel like you see the Nets playing now? And, you know, obviously they're a really bad team. If you was the GM of the Nets, what would you do to fix this team? One, who would you hire as a coach? What players would you target?
Yeah, right now, you know, with all the movement, you know, as far as moving to Brooklyn, and you know, they kind of sold their soul a little bit when they moved to Brooklyn by bringing Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Deron Williams. They paid so much money. It kind of put them back a few years, but you have to find a very good coach. I guess in the lead is GM first, where they're going, GM first, and then they got to hire a coach. But I really don't know what I would do there. You can't go through the draft because they lose all their draft pieces. You probably have to just build through free agency and keep some of the pieces they got. I like Brooke Lopez. Thaddeus Young, I don't care what you say, those two pieces cannot go nowhere. You bring in a good GM, a good coach, good staff, and you work with the talent that you have around you. And you just might have to suffer for a few years to get back to the winning ways. You know, right now the coach out there, if I was the GM, I'll be trying to hire Coach Tibbs. You know, he's one of those great X and O coaches, defensive-minded coach, no nonsense, you know, puts in the work. But I don't see, you know, the Nets going after someone like that. They're trying to go after a GM first. But I'm hearing now that the Spurs, if they're about to give the GM job to Mark, what's his name, Mark Hughes?
Sean Marks.
And once he gets the job, he's going to put, you know, somebody in his Spurs family down. That's just a given, you know what I mean? So, you know, it's all good. I just think they're going to suffer regardless. You know, they just have to play a few years, you know, getting some pieces through free agency and a few veterans, you know, hold on to guys with 1 or 2 year contracts, come in and just try to put the culture. They probably have to get that culture together. So,
like
the Hawks, you know. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, sorry to cut you off. Mark Jackson is a good friend of yours. Why do you think the Nets won't even consider him? You know, that would be a big marketing boost for Brooklyn, especially right now when they need it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, I'm a big believer, especially in the league, 30 teams. It's a family. It's like once you smack somebody in the face, and I'm using that as a figure of speech. You know, once you he's at Golden State, and he ruffled some feathers. So I think that's what the lead and everybody. Sometimes when you get, what was your last job? You got to talk to your last boss. And I don't think they're giving him good feedback. I don't think they talking highly about him, and it's affecting, you know, him getting a job. And that's just life, man. You just have to roll with the punches. Of course he should be somewhere coached. With all these vacants, you know, a couple of these vacant jobs, he had success at Golden State. But I just think a lot of people don't like his personality and, you know, how he carries himself and everything. But I think he's a great basketball mind. But, you know, once you smack somebody in the face, say the wrong things, they hold it against you. And I think that's what's going on with Mark Jackson.
Hey, Chips, man, let me talk to you real quick, man. I was down. I went to go see my godson play.
Yeah.
And he plays for University of Miami, Kamari Murphy.
Okay.
Man, keep him on your radar.
Okay.
I'm in Georgia Tech. They got that new arena there. So
yeah.
I'm looking up at the Raptors. I know I don't see you in the building, but I'm looking for some symbolism of you. Why is Kenny Anderson jersey not up in the Raptors, my man?
He's not in the Raptors, and I'm a little bummed out, but I always mess around with it, but it bothers me because the game of basketball, you know, that's probably the only thing I'm waiting for. I can't nothing else. I just want to have my jersey retired by my school, Georgia Tech. My mother wanted that to happen. She passed away 2005, but I'm not sure. I don't know what they're waiting for, but we just have to wait and see. They got a wall of honor in the practice gym where they got all the jerseys of the special players, but I don't care nothing about that. I want my jersey retired, and it should be retired.
I agree with you, Chips.
I feel that I'm the best player in their history. I give Mark Price and Dennis Scott those two, but other than that, I just feel, you know, what I did for the school, not only numbers, but just the attention and everything I brought to the school. You know, it's just, you know, I don't know. I don't know. It's
Chips,
politics,
don't hold
whatever.
Back, Chips. You made it good for Stephon Marbury to shine there.
You made it good for those dudes to shine. They know who I feel. My school know how I feel. I got nothing but love for my school. And for me, it was the best 2 years of my life. They know how I feel. So they just sitting back on it. They'll move on when they want. I just hope I'm living. You know what I mean?
Hey, Chance, we can start the petition right now on H2G Radio. We can get at him.
Get out of it, baby.
Hey, Chance, let's keep it New York City. What you think about New York City basketball right now, man, from your perspective, from the outside looking at?
What did he say? I'm sorry.
What you think about New York City basketball right now from the outside looking at?
I don't know. I know my nephew is going to be a killer. You know, he's a freshman at Malloy. You know, he had 52 last week against Iona Prep. He's got to stay grounded. He's going to get better. I don't really know too much about the New York players. A lot of them have been leaving, going to prep school. I've heard it's not the same, so I don't really, you know much about it. You know, I know they got Cole Anthony over there.
We're going to get to Cole in a minute. We're going to have him call in a little while. Kenny, that was a special treat at the end. You don't already spoil
it
for me. I was going to get
that
part.
Wow,
yeah, cool. I'm going to have Cole. I want you to kind of, like, talk to him a little bit. But I want to take you back a little bit, Kenny. We want to play a little game with you. You ready?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Kenny, I'm going to say some things.
Yeah.
You got 10 seconds. You got 10 seconds to reflect on these things. I'm going to take you back.
Okay.
You loose right now. You should have your shooting shirt off.
All right.
All right. You should have your shooting shirt off. Your first tryout at age 10 at the Gauchos. You got cut. Tell me about it.
Yeah, I got cut in the bathhouse. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
my man Rudy King brought me down there. man, Rudy King brought me down there in the bathhouse. I got cut. And that was my first time I got cut from a team. So it stuck with me.
Don't I know it. Hey, Kitty, talk to the people about Section 2 and 3 and Left Rack.
Oh, Section 2 and 3, that's a small court. That's, you know, we had the tournament out there with 2-3 teams. And we played in the best of six. It wasn't that many teams. We only had 2 teams. So our summer league was like the best out of 7. It was packed out there every game, man. All the people were on the terrace watching all the games. It was off the chain, man. Love playing.
Throwback Tuesday. It's going to be Throwback Tuesday right here, Kenny.
Yeah.
Talk to them about running the stairs in Left Rack and the building.
Oh, yeah. I did all type of stuff. That's, you're killing me now, man. You know my little routine.
Let's talk, Kitty.
Yeah, I used to run the stairs, and then I used to walk the stairs for about 10 flights on my toes, and I run up them, and then I used to try to catch flies in the elevator. So that was real interesting, you know, my eye-hand coordination. I would take the elevator up to the 18th floor and try to catch flies, you know, when they was in there. And usually I would catch one or two. You know, it was funny that I run the steps. Things of that nature. So, yeah, you did your research. I don't know who told you all this.
Yo, tell the people about World Wise. Who's World Wise?
World Wise? Wise is like the mayor of Left Rack, man. He's been there for many years, 20, maybe 30 years, taking care of all the youth, looking out for all the youth, you know, keeping them out of trouble, doing a little basketball leagues and the project, man. He helped a lot of kids to stay out of trouble. It was real, you know. And then he always had the clothes, you know, going back to school. He had his little sneakers, clothes, all type of stuff. But you know, Wise is a fixture, Left Rack. He's a man.
No doubt, man. Talk to me about Dave McCullough, man. Who's Dave McCullough?
Dave McCullough, man. That's my dude, man. Gauchos. Brought me, you know, I came to the Gauchos. He let me do my thing, man. Real good guy, good coach. He was the first, you know, winning all the championships with the guys. Man, we had a crew. We had me, Carlton Hines, Jamal Mashburn, Carl Armand Craig, Andre McCullough. Yeah, we had a crew, man.
Yo,
can you have a question for you? Oh, can I slip one in?
Yeah.
Can I slip a question in for Kenny?
Yeah.
Because I've had this debate. Kenny, who's the best point guard to ever come out of New York City and why?
Well, I'm doing that now. You know, you asked me that. My documentary is just finished. And I love all my point guards that came before me. You know, Pearl Washington, Boo Harvey, Kenny Smith, Mark Jackson, Rod Strickland, Kenny Hutchinson. You know, all those guys. You got the younger guys, younger than me, Stephon Marbury, Sebastian Telfair. All those guys are great, but I changed the game when I was point guard in New York. You know, not only in high school, but in the playground. I was the only 4-year all-city player. I brought attention to New York, you know, as far as with the media attention that I got, received. So it just wasn't so much basketball. It was like everything that I brought, you know, attention to CHSAA, how much, you know, love we were getting. Not by me playing, but just what I was doing in the game of basketball. So that's why I said I'm the best that came out of New York, because I just brought a lot of attention to the city when I played. And I'm the only 4-time all-city player. Like facts, you know, me and Kareem, you know, my jersey, my high school jersey is right next to Kareem's in the Hall of Fame. So it's just sad, you know, I did my thing in high school.
Hey, Chips, that's a good segue right there, because you're absolutely right about everything you said. And like we talked about earlier, you've done so much for New York City basketball, college, pro. You've kind of like set a lot of young men to kind of aspire to kind of be just as great as you. And I got a young man on the line before this show ends I want to connect you with. I got Cole Anthony on the line with us. Cole Anthony, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Cole Anthony, the future now, the freshman at Malloy.
Yeah,
you are now on the line with the legend, the person who set all the records, who you are focused to try to beat and to try to take down. Kenny Anderson, Meet the Future, Carl Anthony, and this is the part of the show that
doing?
I love to perform.
Cole, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing very good. What about you?
I'm all right, man. I was talking to your father last week. You know, me and your father battled in college and in the pros. And when I found out you were going to Malloy, I was telling him, man, I was excited because I heard so much about you. So just keep up the good work, man. I wish Coach Karen was living so he could just see your talent. But he passed away some years ago. But it's great to be back, have Malloy back on the map. Just awesome to have the talent. So we haven't had no talent like him in the school for ages. So it's great to see somebody like Cole at the school.
Hey, Kenny, the one thing, if we can share with Cole as well, the one thing he's beat you out as well is he's playing in the first quarter. He may be the first freshman to start, and you knew Jack Curran's system. And Kenny, just share with him your stories in terms of you didn't even play the first and the third quarter. Am I correct?
No, I didn't play the first quarter. I never played the first quarter. I only played three quarters my freshman year. They didn't really want me to make the team, but I was at tryout. I was just so good. I was just killing those guys, and he brought me in the office, and he's like, "You're gonna make the team, but you can't start the first quarter." So I only played three quarters. We had a very close knit team with juniors and seniors, and he didn't want me to come and interrupt, what was going on. So I did come into a very good team, and we won the city championship as a freshman and so on. The stories there, went on from there. But Cole is playing like he could break my records if he continued to just stay at Malloy, play the way he's playing. He probably could break all the records.
Hey, Cole, are you familiar with Kenny Anderson's records? Are you familiar with his legacy? Is there anything that you're not familiar with that we can clear up here?
I'm not really familiar with all of his records. I know he has a lot of records in New York, but I'm not familiar with all of them.
Kenny, how many points did you average as a freshman in three quarters?
That I don't. I believe you. I don't even remember. But
I thought it was like 26.
23. Cause I did. I didn't play the first quarter, but I had some assists. I didn't even pay attention my freshman year. I just wanted to win. And I wanted to fit in. So those guys, I played with some seniors and juniors, played with Ralph James. He was a Harvard All-American. Robert Rodan played at St. John's. I had a very good team my freshman year.
Definitely did. Hey, kid, if you haven't seen Cole play, Cole is phenomenal, very athletic. I hope that at some point that you can kind of come into a Malloy game to watch him. Right now he has his team in first place as a top seed, Malloy. They haven't been a top seed that I can remember for a while. They're now a top seed heading into the CSSA playoffs, and Cole is definitely the fixture at the front runner, front of all that, and playing on the heavy, really touted Team Rio and New York Rens team. He played with on the circuit as well, so doing well.
I watch him on YouTube. I saw some of his videos, and what I see, I couldn't. As a freshman, I was athletic, but I couldn't jump like that. I wasn't explosive. I couldn't dunk. So, I had ball handler skills to get me in certain spots, and I could shoot that jumper at the foul line very well. But, it seems like Cole is very explosive, can dunk and do different things. I couldn't do that when I was a freshman. So he's ahead of me, man. So I hope one day I can get down there. I definitely know next year I will, but try to catch the game in Malloy. Check them out.
The one thing, and I'll let Cole ask some questions too, but one thing is being a highly recruited, one of the top biggest recruits to come out of New York City, being on Sports Illustrated and everything. Is there any advice or something that you can share and pass down to Cole and saying how to handle certain things and how to handle the recruiting process and different things like that?
Well, Cole, as I know, I did some history. I know some of the history on him. His father's a pro. His father played college ball. I think his stepfather's in his life, his mother's in his life. He's coming from a great foundation, so he ain't gonna have no problem. It's great that he went to Malloy. That's a very strong academic school. He's already set, He just got to keep getting better as far as basketball. But when your foundation is correct at home, you have structure and you're doing well in school, and you know, you don't have no problems. He can go and act, you know, his father played in the league. Father played in one of the best colleges, UNLV. They won a national championship. It's in his DNA. So all he has to do is, you know, A-top, you know, what do you feel? He can go and get that knowledge and that information, you know, from guys that did it. You know what I mean? So, you know, that, it won't be a problem in basketball. You know what I mean? That's going to be easy part, basketball. But, you know, like I tell all these kids, academics is, you know, what's going to, you know, make you different than all the other guys. And I know Cole Anthony is fine with his academics. And Malloy is not, you know, you can't settle in there. It's a very highly educated school. So I think he's on his way, man. He just got to just keep getting better at basketball.
No doubt, no doubt. Hey, Cole, I want you to jump in, man. If you got any questions you can have for Kenny, I know the show is winding down. I want you to make sure that you connect with him the way you like to.
I wanted to ask about Coach Carey. Like, what was it like playing under him? Like, was he really as great as a coach as everyone says he was?
Yeah, I think Coach Carey was a great coach, but he was so dedicated. I think the one thing that he's a fixture of the school. He was at the school for 50 years, and he really didn't care if he was on the basketball team, the baseball team, the track team. He treated everyone, you know, equally. He cared. He cared so much about the Malloy family. As far as his coaching, he was a disciplinary. It just rubbed off, you know. We practiced every day. We went over everything over and over. And he taught me how to lead at an early age, you know, not even teaching me, but just telling me, you know, how to handle myself as a freshman among these juniors and seniors. So, you know, it's just when you're around that every day, it kind of rubs off on you. You have no choice. You're like, wow, his dedication. You know, even like when he was sick, going through dialysis, you know, three times a week, then he broke his kneecap, he still was coming to practice. He still was coming from Rye, New York every day to make baseball practice and basketball practice. So he just was just so, you know, in tune in Malloy. And he knew the game. It was his way or the highway. Like he didn't curve none of his the way he wanted to teach you or what he wanted to get out of you. So I think you know, that's the big thing, is discipline and dedication.
Mm-hmm. I have one more question.
Yeah.
What was the best advice that he gave you?
Wow. I think the best advice, and it wasn't about basketball. It was just about relationships, how to handle myself, you know, in the school. Because when I was a freshman, I was living in the inner city, and I had to go to Malloy. I was kind of, like, shy at first. You know, he told me how to, you know, be sociable, how to deal with the teachers, how to, you know, how to ask for help, how to be a student, how to fit in with the school, how to be social. And that's what I did, you know, not being standoffish because I was Kenny Anderson getting all this publicity. So he kind of molded me, like, you know, I used to go down to his office every time I got a break, you know, sit around the office and talk. I used to talk about all his other players, the players before me. He had so many stories, and you could learn a lot just by sometimes just sitting in his office, you know, and that's what I did. But I think he gave me that education about the school, Malloy, because what situation I was coming from. You know, basketball, he was like, that's going to be easy. All you got to do is keep working on your game, practicing, and that's what I did. But getting the other things, school and how to deal with people and how to, at a young age, how to be sociable, how to relate with your classmates and your teachers. And that's what really helped me in Malloy.
Hey, folks, man, this is a great conversation that I don't want to let in, but I'm looking at the time, and I don't want the lines to cut off for us and disconnect. Yeah. Cole, Anthony, I really appreciate you calling in and connecting with the legend there, Kenny Anderson. Kenny Anderson, appreciate you calling in. I ain't even get a chance to talk to you about Lawrence Battalion and Vincent Smith. We know that those are ones I was saving in the hip pocket for you. Hopefully we have a talk a later time about those guys. But I believe this is the time where we got to close out the show, right, Edgar?
Yes, we do. Thanks, Kenny. I appreciate you coming on, man. Yeah. I definitely want you to come on again. And Cole, we definitely we watching you.
And I'm coming to watch, Cole. Thank you, Cole. Right. Thank you, Crystal. Thank you, David.
Good luck.
I mean,
good
Greg.
Luck, Cole.
Thank you very much.
No doubt, man. Good luck in the playoffs next week.
Standards. Go Standards. Go, baby.
George, hey, we're going to start the petition for Kenny Anderson jersey to be retired at Georgia Tech. We started on my Twitter account, Fun Sport NYC Chips. We'll let you know.
My bad.
All right, man. Let's get ready to close
it out.
Ed, this is a good show. Good way to start it up in the first week, man. Next week, we're going to be back with some new special guests. Talking basketball, giving you that real talk the way we like to have it, man, and connected, and a new feature with our youth on the move.
Yeah, we got to find out from Jared if his boy Dwight gonna get traded and his thoughts next week.
Yeah, definitely. That's gonna be real interesting, man. Real interesting stuff. But hey, I appreciate you having me here, Ricky Rivers. Time to sign off. I know you got some closeout music, Ed. Can't wait to get back next week, Jared Rudolph, my man. Good night, everyone.
Oh.